This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host and your writer and your reader, Mike Luoma. I've got chapter 26 of The Star Seeds of Earth on the way, my brand new science fiction novel. Let me set up the story for you if you haven't been listening or, you know, you want a little refresher here. Alibi finished our last installment wondering why people look to him for leadership. He was, you know, contemplating those kind of things. What makes some people natural leaders? Is that a good thing? Well, he's gonna try and act like a leader on this episode. He's summoned together his top people at the Hornet's Nest to... Well, let's find out. I don't want to spoil it, right? It's coming up on Chapter 26 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, the book you are listening to, my brand new science fiction novel, is finally coming out in less than a week. It'll be here this coming Friday. New book day on Friday, less than a week away. And you can join me Friday online for the book launch. I'm going to kind of use a Facebook event to sort of be the central hub of things. And I'll see, you know, what they let me use. Live groups or... live readings and things, giveaways. I'll try whatever I can. We'll see what happens. But that is this Friday, coming up, the book launch for The Star Seeds of Earth. A virtual book launch. You can pre-order the ebook everywhere. You can pre-order the audiobook at Google Play. Paperback should go on sale on Friday. If they don't, I may have to kill somebody. But I will try to find a way to make them available for you. Man, I have been dealing with some nightmare times with Lulu. They decided that they wanted to do a site redesign. Yeah, right at the end of April. Last week of April, during a pandemic, with limited support. Yeah. I haven't heard back. I've had a problem approving my book and getting it, you know, officially published. I reported this like Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and, you know, here it is Saturday night, and it's not done. Nobody's gotten back to me. I have not heard anything. So I will find a way to get it to you. I just don't know quite how that's going to be yet. You know, that's the thing sometimes when you're trying to be a do-it-yourself author and distributor. You're at the mercy of some of these big guys, and they just don't care. I don't know. It looks beautiful. You may have seen the paperback. I've posted it. Posted the great unveiling. Then went to approve it. And the buggy new site failed. Yeah, it's awesome. But the book looks beautiful. I can't wait to get it in your hands. Because I'm happy with the way it turned out. I just need them to... Well, let me make sure it turns out. Doesn't do me any good if I can't sell it. And I'm sorry, I've been trying to be positive about this. I've only been venting at Lulu on Twitter and on Twitter in general. Facebook, I've been trying to stay positive. But I'll tell you, giving me any... It's headaches, nightmares, you know? Hard time sleeping. Had everything lined up. I even paid for expedited shipping to get it to me early, as soon as I could, ASAP, so I could approve it, and they've just wasted all this money I spent, basically, to get it to me early. Man. Well, hopefully it works out. But I haven't heard from them yet, and it's been over 3 days, so. Whew. I am hoping to have this podcast up on Friday as well, and not just to promote the book, but also because it's Virtual Balticon coming up next weekend, and I don't want to be doing the podcast too. That's right, Balticon got canceled because of the, you know, COVID-19 virus and all, and social distancing, etc. But the Balticon people have turned this into a big online convention. So now it's Virtual Balticon. If you go to If you go to balticon.org, you can find out about all the different panels that are going on. I'm going to be on four. Mine are on Saturday and Sunday. So I'll do the book launch on Friday. And then Saturday at 4 p.m., I am on an amazing panel. Why the Storyteller Needs a Narrator. It's about audiobook narration. Not only is it me, but it is the great Dave Robeson, the great Starla Hutchton, the great Mel Hayden, and the amazing John Walker is the moderator. Talk about an all-star cast. So that's Saturday at 4 o'clock. Saturday at 10 p.m., I'm part of the Cold Reads. That's me, Starla again, Dave again, Julaine Hughes, and Spence is moderating that. So that's Cole Reads coming up Saturday at 10 p.m. Then I'll be up Sunday morning, bright and early, 10 a.m., for Beta Reading Propositions, What Are You In For? And this is great. I just found this out just before I started recording. The moderator of that panel is going to be Keith Hughes. Keith was one of my beta readers for The Star Seeds of Earth. So actually, one of my beta readers is going to be moderating the panel on beta reading. Very meta-beta. Beta-meta? And Starla's on that one again with me, too, so. Sorry, Starla, you're going to get sick of me, I think. And Morgan Hazelwood. I'm looking forward to doing a panel with Morgan. She's been doing a lot of work behind the scenes on Virtual Balticon. And she was just in the audience on a couple panels I was at last year that I was on. And she's a writer, and, you know, was looking to get involved. I said, yeah, you know, she's smart. She participated. Now she's like half running the place, it seems like. But so she's on that panel as well on beta reading. And then Sunday at noon, what's this about a social media presence? It's talking about how you need to be on social media. And Morgan's going to be the moderator for that one. I'll be on that one, along with Joshua Bilmes and Jamela Brinkley. And T. Morris. All right, T. It's good to be on a panel with T. So that should be fun, too. And that's coming up Sunday at noontime. So those are the four panels that I'm going to be on coming up at Virtual Balticon next weekend. And you can see the whole schedule of everything that's happening, again, at balticon.org. In other news, book news, I intended to do this podcast Friday, yesterday. But Juan Carlos Quatordio, artist that I've worked with many times on comic book stories, he messages me and says he's got this project called Historias Necessarias, which is about essential employees during the virus crisis. And he wondered if I could write a one-page script about somebody in the United States, from the States. Because this is an Argentinian project. He's from Argentina. And they had an Argentine person and a Chilean person and a Peruvian person. He's like, we wanted to get somebody from the States. So he reached out to me. And I had a friend, my friend Matt Engels, actually got the COVID-19 virus. He's okay now. But he's a prison guard at a correctional facility here in Vermont. He's like a shift supervisor. And probably got the virus at work and had to isolate for a while. So I did a quick email interview with Matt back and forth. And then I wrote the one-page script and got it to Juan Carlos. I got this whole thing. This whole thing came together in like 3 hours. And by 7, I had emailed him. I was emailing him the script. And he loved it. He's like, this is perfect. So I thought that was pretty cool. But that's why this didn't come sooner. But we should have a one-page comic at some point in Spanish that I can translate into English and share with you. As I was talking about last week, there is a sale going on all my digital comics issue number ones. That's at Comixology. Comixology has this really cool thing called Guided View. So when you're reading a comic on your tablet or your phone, it moves from panel to panel and sometimes right down to the dialogue so that it's a lot easier to follow along with the story. I like that. And now you can check it out for yourself and kind of on the cheap side because all of my comics are 50% off till June 4th at Comixology. All of my number ones, I should say. It's what they call their starter sale. The Comixology Submit Starter Sale. And because it's my number one issues, there was like no good landing space for it on their site. So I put together my own. So if you go to glowinthedarkradio.com, and just click on the banner there, you'll have access to all the number ones that are like, you know, 49 cents for the most part. Yeah. Think the Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, issue number one, is $1.99. So that at 50% is just 99 cents. But most of them are under 50 cents. And again, that is at Comixology. But probably the easiest thing to do is just head over to glowinthedarkradio.com. And you have through the end of the month, May 31st. To get over to Smashwords for the Authors Give Back sale to get all of my ebooks, all of my novels, that is, and the two short story collections for free. Ebooks are still free at Smashwords. Links again at glowinthedarkradio.com. Whew, there's a lot going on as we get ready to release the book coming up on Friday. I want to thank my patrons on Patreon who have helped me to putting this podcast out, keep web pages up, keeping the lights on, as they say. I'd love to have your support. You can go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and pledge your support for $2, $5, or $10 a month. And I will send many exclusives and early previews and such your way as a patron. In fact, patrons have already been able to buy and read this book, and some of them have. And they liked it. Again, to get in on that, become a patron, go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Actually, when I was saying, they say, keep the lights on, I was kind of quoting Paul Cooley. He says that a lot on his podcasts. Shadow Publications is his site. And I'm a big fan of his Derelict novels. Derelict Marines, Derelict Tomb, and Derelict Destruction. The Derelict Saga. Here's a little word about that. And then we'll get into Chapter 26 next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now, here's Chapter 26 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. structure. I'm not a big fan of structure. Suppose that's why I'm not a fan of the Greater Ta. They are big fans of structure, order, discipline, and all. So I usually just say no to structure. Except when, paradoxically, greater structure gives me greater freedom. Alibi looked at the 8 people gathered in the main Hornet's Nest conference room. 5 of them were now his old friends. Emily Brown, his business manager, Kit, new captain of the A.D. Foster, Krish, Dr. Krishnavurti, family friend and brilliant scientist, Hector Ruiz, captain of the Libra Campista and owner of that ship and the Libra Campista de Dos, and Bob Bond, captain of the latter. The other 3 were relative newcomers. Gardner Davison had risen quickly through the ranks of the construction workers who had gravitated to the nest early on, as word of work spread. Grizzly Yakamoto had grown to be trusted by Alibi and Emily with security. And Laurel Eden, captain of the Goldenrod, was on the base currently looking to hire a new crew for her ship. Laurel Eden was a bit of a gamble, Alibi admitted to himself. He was mostly going on instinct and allowing her into his inner circle. But she had been kind to him when she didn't have to be, even a little flirtatious. Not that he thought she was interested in him for a deeper relationship, though the idea she might be interested had crossed his mind. He couldn't lie. An older woman. But that's not why she's here. Thank you all for coming, Alibi said. For those of you who don't know why we're here, let me state it plainly. I wanted to gather some people I trust together to lead the government of this place we're all calling home. Emily and Krish smiled. Davison and Yakamoto both looked genuinely surprised and exchanged stunned glances. Hector grinned, but Bob Bond remained as emotionless as ever. Kit looked like Kit. Laurel frowned. However, the usually level-headed and always perceptive Ms. Brown, Alibi paused and nodded to Emily, informs me that to form a government here, while the Solar Alliance is claiming to exercise governance over us, would be an act of treason and secession. So we're going to wait on that. The newcomers appeared relieved. What we are going to do is give ourselves some structure, create a little bit of a hierarchy, kind of a chain of command, except I hate the words chain and command, which just leaves of, and that doesn't really describe anything. All 8 looked puzzled and confused. Sorry, Alibi said. I digress. We're creating a command/management structure. We need backups and second-in-commands, staffs and such. You're all here today because I think you can be a part of that initial structure. Laurel Eden stood up. I'm sorry, she said. But no. She shook her head and looked Alibi in the eyes with a pained expression in hers. I don't do organizations, clubs, governments. I'm not a big people person. Or a joiner. That's okay, Alibi said. You don't... Thanks, she said, interrupting. I appreciate you including me. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Anyway. But thanks. Thank you. She left the table, walking toward the door and out of the room as quickly as she could without running. Can't say as I blame her. Wish I could run out too. Not it. Anyone else want out? Alibi said. He glanced around the table and liked what he saw, eyes looking back, curious as to what he was planning. No one else made a move for the door. Good, he said, and thank you. He looked at the door. I mean, I get that, too. There's a part of me wants to run right out after her, he smiled. Davison, Krish, Ruiz, and Yakamoto nodded. Bob remained poker-faced as usual, and there was no reading Kit's Dakur expression under his fur. Emily glared back at him and mouthed the words, run right out after her. Alibi couldn't hear her, but read her lips easily enough. Ms. Shapely Butt, she mouthed. Responsibility isn't for everyone, Alibi said, staring back at Emily a little longer than necessary. And I'm not the biggest fan of it myself, is all I'm saying. But circumstances have led me to running this place, and I take that seriously. I hope so, Emily said, this time out loud. I think everyone here knows each other, though Ms. Davison and Mr. Yakimoto, as the newest members of this kind of already existing informal core group, please introduce yourselves to anybody you don't know well, okay? Grizz, Yakimoto said. I go by Grizz for short. Grizz, Emily said. Interesting name. Where did that come from?
Baseball, Grizz said. I used to play baseball back on Earth.
Professionally, Bob piped up. Guess he's a baseball fan. Who knew?
Yeah, Grizz said. For a while, anyway. Injuries kind of cut things short. And the Greater Ta made everything kind of suck back on Earth. Even baseball.
I didn't know you were a ball player, Bob said.
Yep, more than just a security guy, Grizz said and chuckled a little.
I was named for my grandmother, Davison said, interjecting. Her name was Gardner? Hector asked.
No, Davison said. Hannah. But she was a gardener. She was a little disappointed I went into construction, to be honest.
I'm not sure how... Never mind.
Everyone else looked a little confused as well. Well, Alibi broke the brief, awkward silence. Welcome to the both of you, Grizz and Gardner.
I prefer Davison, she said, if you guys don't mind.
Sure, not a problem, Davison, Alibi said.
We all have our quirks.
So this isn't a government council, it's a management council, Alibi said. You'll help me manage the base.
About that. I don't think we should call it a base anymore, Hector said.
If we're not governing so as to be less of a threat, then why call our home a base and make it sound like a military outpost?
Because it was one once, Bob Bond offered. It's not like we're changing its name into a base. Besides, what would you call it, a station? That doesn't sound right. This is a small planetoid.
Just drop the base, Emily suggested. Everybody just calls it the Hornet's Nest anyway, don't they? If you need to call it something for short, why not the Nest? I bet we could get people saying that.
Yes, Krish agreed. I could hear that catching on.
Alibi looked around and saw general agreement.
So you'll help manage the Nest, Alibi said. Agreed?
Sounds good. Agreed.
Sure. The answers came in chorus.
Great, Alibi smiled. Then he frowned as he remembered what he had to do next.
Much as I hate to say it, he said, we need titles and second-in-commands. We need structure, hierarchy, things I've never been a fan of, but maybe we can do them better here.
Right, Emily said, only half sarcastic.
Right, Alibi said, my second-in-command.
What? Emily seemed legitimately surprised. Nobody else was.
Obviously, said Krish, bringing the point home as the others nodded.
You'll be our chief financial officer and my second in command, Ms. Emily Brown.
Okay, she said, silenced a little by the shock.
Find a good second, Alibi said, and train them up. Deputy chief financial officer.
My choice? Emily asked.
You should make it subject to council approval, Hector said,
to set a precedent.
Emily looked a little taken aback. Maybe even hurt. So Hector pressed on to explain.
We're all friends here, Emily, Hector said.
And personally? I won't be able to judge your choice better than you will. I know that just from knowing you.
He paused.
Thank you, Emily said.
Hector jumped right back in.
But we need to set precedents for the future, too, right now, Hector said. For when this council isn't all friends with the best intentions. So the chief picks her deputy, subject to approval by the council. Seems like a good precedent.
Advise and consent, Bob Bond said.
What? Hector asked, quick on the pickup.
The council should advise and consent on it, Bob said. He nodded at Alibi. Then the director, or manager, or whatever you're called, should approve.
That sounds like a government appointment, Grizz said.
As Hector mentioned, it is important to set precedent, Bob said. Gives you something to lean back on later.
I like it, Alibi said, cutting off discussion. He cleared his throat and tried to sound officious.
Deputy appointments will be by department heads, subject to council advice and consent, and the director's approval.
Sounds good, Emily said. So, what does everyone else get to do?
Krish will head up our science department, Alibi said. Chief scientist, because chief science officer sounds militaristic, right?
I suppose, Krish said.
And, like Emily, you'll choose a deputy and bring them to us, Alibi said.
Yes, Krish said. I think I know who that will be, but I must give it some thought.
Grizz, you are head of security, Alibi said. Congratulations.
Cool, Grizz said. I mean, I kind of figured that, but I'm glad that's it. Thanks, Alibi. Good to be on your team.
Good to have you.
Davison, you're head of physical plant and public works, Alibi told her. We need someone to keep the hornet's nest running smoothly. You up to the task?
I don't know, sir. I mean, Alibi, she said. I don't know about running things.
You run our construction crews now, Alibi pointed out. This isn't going to be that different.
Can I pick a deputy who can help me with that? Davison asked.
Sure, Alibi said. That's a great idea. It's good to have someone backing you up who has different skills they can apply.
Uh-huh, Davison said.
Wow, it's a little overwhelming, but thank you. Thank you, Alibi.
Bob, Alibi said, turning to Bob, I'd like you to run the landing bays. The Hornet's Nest Port Authority. You're in charge.
Do I have to? Bob cracked.
Whatever. What's my title?
Executive Director, Hornet's Nest Port Authority, Alibi said.
Did you just make that up? Bob asked.
The title? Alibi asked with faux innocence.
Maybe.
He knew what he wanted you to do, Emily said.
And what do you want me to do, eh, Alibi? Hector asked. We're down to me and Kit.
You are going to love this, Hector, Alibi said. Do you remember how we met?
Hector had to think a moment.
Oh, yeah, collecting for Gentry. But that was just my penance for missing an appointment.
I remember.
You are my ambassador, Alibi said. Or trade representative, something like that. You can't be a diplomat because we're not a government, yet.
Trade representative sounds good, Hector said.
My guess is you'll be dealing with Gentry for the Solar Alliance, Alibi said. Better you than me.
But isn't that what you used to do? Emily said.
I don't want to have to talk to Gentry, Alibi said.
Gotcha.
Last but certainly not least, Kit. Thank you for being here.
You are welcome, Alibi. I would rather be here than under the heel of the Greater Ta on Dakur. Thank you for having me. What would you have me do?
Actually, both you and Bob were my hardest decisions, Alibi said. Because I know you could run the port too, Kit. And Bob could certainly head up our fleet.
Our fleet?
Kit asked. I want you to be in charge of our ships, Kit, Alibi said. The A.D. Foster for sure. Hector and Bob might want you to take charge of theirs, partially, to help free them up for their duties. I'd hoped Laurel Eden would be in on this. She was going to be a trade rep, too. I think she would have liked it. But there would have been her ship, too.
And we're going to get more.
We are?
Hector asked.
Oh, yeah, Alibi said. Whether we like it or not, we've got people moving in here more and more each day. We have to be able to protect them, or at least try to. So, Kit, I'll need you to research less expensive, small, flexible fighters we can use for protection. And let me know what other ships we might need.
Ooh, Admiral Kit, Krish said.
Please, no,
Kit said.
Head of External Security, Alibi said.
Grizz watches our insides, Kit watches our outsides.
I will begin researching possible defense ships immediately, Kit said.
And think about who'd make a good deputy for you, too, Alibi said. He turned to look at the rest of the group. All of you, be sure you're thinking about who'd make a good second.
The group took Alibi's tone as a hopeful cue the meeting was nearly over and began shifting restlessly in their seats.
There's good energy here. They're excited by these ideas. Good.
Let's hope this doesn't kill it.
Okay, last thing, Alibi said. Meetings.
Save the worst for last, eh? Hector said. Hey, this one hasn't been too bad, has it? Alibi asked rhetorically. We'll hold an in-person council meeting like this once a month. First Tuesday of the month at 9 a.m. Nest Standard Time. Every other Tuesday at that time, we'll meet virtually and here, depending on where we all are. Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Got it, Davison said, putting it in her schedule. And each of you, please reach out to me to set up a weekly one-on-one meeting time too, okay? Alibi said. I want us all to be touching base often. Doesn't have to wait until we're meeting. You got something? Tell me.
Sounds good, Grizz said. Open communication. I like it.
Davison, I want you and your crews to create a new government center, a suite of offices, one for each of us and our deputies, in one of the new corridors you're opening up. That will make us fall behind schedule on new residences, Davison worried. You're in charge now, Davison, Alibi said. If you need more people to do it, you can hire them. Emily cleared her throat. Well, after checking with the chief financial officer to be sure we have the budget for it, Alibi said. I'm sure you can hire them temporarily for additional people power now. Okay, Davison said. I'm not used to that. This is all new to all of us, Alibi said. There's no way you could be used to it.
This is a lot to digest, Grizz said. Are we done for now? Because suddenly I feel like I have a shit ton of things to do.
Sure, main meeting is over, Alibi said. Davison and Grizz, you can go.
Thank you for joining the team.
A shit ton, Davison said. Never heard that expression before. She rose from the table as Grizz got up.
It's old-fashioned. My granddad used to say it a lot, Grizz said. Guess I picked it up from him. Been saying it so long I don't think about it.
He and Davison headed for the door. I like it, Davison said.
Shit ton. Works, huh? Grizz said.
He laughed. Well, now I feel like I have a shit ton to do too, she said, as the two of them left the conference room.
That was Chapter 26, The Starseeds of Earth, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Now, got a shit ton to do. It's kind of funny that's how this chapter ends, because I feel like I've got a shit ton to do with all the stuff going on, putting the book out. But, man. Yeah, so you got to meet Gardner and Grizz. Well, she likes to be called Davison. And Grizzly Yakamoto, retired professional ball player, is our head of security. I'm kind of glad I got to use Grizzly Yakamoto. Grizz is the lead character in a romantic comedy I wrote called Strikeout. He's a catcher and a pretty good batter too. But the funny thing about Strikeout is that I've struck out at least twice trying to make it as a comic, because the artists start to get involved and then get pulled away to other things. So, actually, I think maybe three times now. I might have struck out with Strikeout. But the lead character of that story is Grizzly Yakamoto, and I kept Grizz alive by making him a character in this book. So there. Head of security at the Hornet's Nest. Now, the meeting isn't really done. The new people are leaving, but the old people aren't going to leave yet. They got some more talking to do, and they're probably going to turn something off as far as like recording goes. So I hope you'll be back for next week in our next episode, and probably like three chapters of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm looking ahead here, and chapter 27 is about 12 minutes long, and then 28 is really short, about 3 minutes. Chapter 29 is about 7.5. So yeah, it's going to be three chapters next time around. 27, 28, and 29. Glow in the Dark Radio. So I hope you come back for that. And I hope you'll join me on Friday on Facebook. Just head to facebook.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma, and look for my event.
I'm going to share it all around. I haven't really yet. It's been there, but I haven't shared it, so. But again, it is a virtual launch of the brand new book, The Star Seeds of Earth, that you're listening to now. And paperback should be going on sale Friday. Ebooks certainly will. Audiobooks will be on sale at Google Play and probably Kobo as well. Ooh, Rakuten. Kobo. But I will let you know as it's launched. And as I say, I was saying beforehand, I've been having some trouble with the paperback, so I'm hopeful, but just keep your fingers crossed. Balticon is on the way next weekend. I've got 4 panels. I'll remind you of those again on our next podcast. 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. And they're free to watch, to sit in on, because it's all virtual. And you can see the whole schedule for the convention, the virtual convention, at balticon.org. I mentioned Juan Carlos had me working with him on a new comic book page for Historias Necessarias, which is about essential employees during the COVID-19 virus crisis. I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. It's going to be about Matthew Engels, who's working at the Northwestern Correctional Facility here in Vermont. An old friend of mine, too, goes way back. There is a Comixology sale going on. The Comixology Submit Starter Sale is on number one issues, thus the starter sale. So all my number ones are on sale, 50% off or more. So the 99-cent ones are 49 cents. And the $1.99 issue number one of the Vatican Assassin graphic novel is just 99 cents. And my ebooks are still free at Smashwords right through the end of the month till May 31st. There are links for all of that, at glowinthedarkradio.com. And if you can, I'd love your support as a patron. For $2, $5, or $10 a month. This is a free podcast. I'm not going to charge you for the podcast. But it's kind of like public radio, I suppose. If you like it and you want to see it keep going, I appreciate your support if you can give it by heading to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and pledging your support. $2, $5, or $10 a month. And my huge amount of thanks to those who do this already and already support the podcast, thanks to my patrons. All right, book day on the way this coming Friday. Hopefully we'll be in touch on social media. And I hope you can join me for the virtual book launch all day Friday. I am your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.